You may be seated. Let's open our Bibles again together to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1, comes after Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, God's electric power company. Is the mnemonic device I was taught long ago to remember the order of those four letters. Maybe you have your own way of remembering their order. But in just a moment, I'm going to read verses 9 through 14 of Colossians 1. But first, let me remind you of what sermon series we're in. Here and there on Sunday evenings, we've been focusing our attention again on our mission statement in a four-part series called Why Do We Exist and What Should We Be Doing? And tonight is part 3 of 4. If you take a look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see our mission statement in the top right corner of the back of the bulletin. It reads, we exist, meaning we as a local church, we exist to glorify and enjoy the triune God of Scripture through worship, nurture, and witness. We worship God corporately, privately, and in all of life. We nurture growth in Christ in ourselves and in each other. And we witness by reflecting and proclaiming Christ in our community and around the world. And like I said, this evening is part 3 of 4, so we'll be focusing our attention on nurture. What it means to nurture growth in Christ in ourselves and in each other. And to help us move in that direction, we're going to read these verses from Colossians 1. So let's pray, and then we'll turn our attention to God's word. Lord, thank you again for your word. We pray that by your grace, we would be encouraged and stirred up by this part of your word as we consider the responsibility you've given us to nurture growth in Christ in ourselves and in each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, reading down through verse 14. These are the words of God. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You can see in your sermon notes in the bulletin that I'm going to explain first what we mean by growth in Christ. And then we're going to focus on how we nurture that growth in ourselves and then how we nurture it in each other. So first, what do we mean by growth in Christ? What we mean by growth in Christ is becoming more like Christ in our lives, becoming more like our Savior, less like our sinful selves. Growth in Christ means growing up into spiritual maturity, like a child grows up into physical maturity. So it's a process. It's something that happens all throughout the Christian life, from the beginning all the way through to the end, from the moment of regeneration all the way through to the moment of glorification. Every day of our new life in Christ is a day we need to grow in Christ. And God has given us everything we need to grow in Christ every day. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. God has ordained that we would go through this process of growth throughout our lives as Christians. He has ordained that spiritually we would be born infants and not full-grown adults, and that we would need to grow and mature toward spiritual adulthood. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:15, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Colossians 2:19, from Christ, the head, the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. And as we just heard in our passage from Colossians 1, Paul prays that the believers in Colossae would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. God's intention for all of His children is that we would grow in Christ. The term we sometimes use to refer to this process of growth is the term sanctification. The Westminster Shorter Catechism has a great definition of sanctification. I've included it in your notes there. It asks, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, and by work there, they mean ongoing work or process, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. So again, it's a process. It doesn't happen all at once, like justification or adoption. It happens slowly but surely over many days and weeks and months and years. It's a process of God's free grace. In other words, we don't earn growth or merit growth in Christ. It happens in us by God's free grace through our use of the means of grace, like the word and prayer. We are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. That is, every part of us is being transformed so that we become more like God in true righteousness and holiness. And by His grace, we are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. That is, to put off what doesn't glorify God and to put on what does. To put to death the works of the flesh and to bring to life the fruit of the Spirit. And we are called to nurture this growth in Christ, to encourage it and pursue it and promote it in ourselves and in each other. Let's look first at ourselves. Number 2 in your notes there. We will nurture growth in Christ in ourselves. This is what we want for all of our members. This is part of what it looks like for you to be a spiritually healthy, involved, fully engaged member of our church, that you would be nurturing growth in Christ every day, first and foremost, in yourself. How do you do that? How do you nurture growth in Christ in yourself? You do it by using all of God's appointed means for that growth. And you trust God to give the growth through those means. It's like farming. Your heart is the field. And if you want to see that field grow crops and be fruitful, then your job is to make sure you are planting seeds in that field and faithfully watering that field And then you trust that God will cause the growth in that field. Kind of like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So every time you use the means of grace, every time you attend and engage in corporate worship, for example, you are planting seeds and watering that soil, and God is faithful to give the growth in your heart and life. J.I. Packer once wrote, "The Christian must use the means of grace assiduously." That's a good word. The Christian must use the means of grace assiduously, hearing, reading, meditating, watching, praying, worshiping. He must animate himself to universal obedience, an all-round, all-day conformity to God's revealed will. And he must persevere in it with resolution and resilience. Yet, he must remember that the power is from God, not himself, and do it all in the spirit of prayerful dependence, or else he will fail. One thing we need to be mindful of as we consider our own growth in grace is the fact that it's possible for us to neglect the means of grace. And by neglecting the means of grace, to stunt our growth in grace. Robert Murray McChain once wrote the following in his journal, February 11th, somewhat overcome. Let me see. There is a creeping defect here. Humble, purpose-like reading of the word omitted. What plant can be unwatered and not wither? If we allow the soil of our hearts to go unwatered, the plants of grace will wither. In God's mercy, they won't die, but they will wither and droop and become parched and in desperate need of water. If you're feeling somewhat overcome these days, like McChain was, if your soul has become a bit parched, if the fruit of the Spirit has withered somewhat in your life, consider whether you are omitting humble, purpose-like reading of the Word, like McChain was. Consider whether you are planting seeds and faithfully watering them and then trusting God Almighty for the growth. God intends not only for us to grow in the Christian life, but also for us to keep growing all throughout the Christian life, even if we've been a Christian for many years. If you've been a Christian for a long time, I'm sure you can look back over many years and identify different ways that you've grown in Christian maturity along the way. And that's a good thing to do from time to time, to look back. But it would also be good to ask yourself, how have I been growing in Christ recently? What new growth has he been producing in me? We have a plant in our home that used to be in the front room and is now in our bedroom that really helps me spiritually. I like this plant. I look at this plant, and from time to time I notice new shoots springing up, new branches with bright, shiny new leaves on them. And I'm amazed by the fact that this plant just keeps growing. See, because we water it sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. And we keep it near the window so it does get some sunshine. And it just keeps on growing. And looking at that plant helps me spiritually because it reminds me that what God intends for me to do in the Christian life, for me to keep on growing, for me to keep springing up new shoots of growth in my life. That's a work that he is faithful to do as I keep planting and watering and praying and waiting. Paul tells the believers in Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." See, their faith was increasing. It hadn't stopped growing. And their love for each other in the body of Christ was increasing. It hadn't plateaued or stalled out. And neither should ours. We should all put ourselves under the microscope for a minute and ask ourselves, am I growing in Christ? In what ways am I growing? Or have I stalled out? Am I withering a bit? Or even a lot? What changes, perhaps, do I need to make in order to get back to planting and watering? Could use the fruit of the Spirit as a way to challenge yourself about your spiritual growth. Is your love for God and others increasing? Is your joy in the Lord growing, or is it withering? Do you have more peace in your heart, say, than you did 6 months ago? Not more peace in your circumstances, which are ever changing, but more peace in your heart before the Lord. Or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We need to flee to our Savior for the forgiveness of our sins in these areas. And we need to pray that God would give us the grace to keep on growing in these areas. So we glorify and enjoy the triune God of Scripture by nurturing growth in Christ in ourselves, but also by nurturing growth in Christ in each other. That's point number 3 in your notes. I think one of the things it's very easy for us to forget is that we are responsible not only for our own growth in Christ, but also, in a sense, for each other's growth in Christ. If you're a Christian, you have a responsibility to all Christians generally to help them grow in Christ, because we're all part of the same universal body of Christ. And you have also a special responsibility to all the members of this local body of Christ to help them grow in Christ. When you become a member of this church, you take a vow before God and the congregation to further the purity and peace of this church. And you take a vow also to live as becomes a follower of Christ. And both of those things mean that you will nurture growth in Christ, not just in yourself, but also in your fellow members. Listen to what God says about this responsibility that we have to each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Hebrews 10:24 and 25. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Hebrews 3:13. "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Ephesians 4:25. "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." And James 5:16. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." There's 2 very simple ways that we can carry out this responsibility to nurture each other's growth in Christ. First, we can talk to each other And second, we can pray for each other. We can talk to each other. God intends for us to help each other grow in Christ by talking to each other in a way that promotes and encourages growth in Christ. When we talk to each other, we should build each other up with our words. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, that as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Proverbs 16:24, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." Our conversations with each other should be noticeably Christian, and they should promote mutual growth in Christ. Small talk, of course, is fine, but if it's all we ever talk about, it's too small. We need to talk about bigger things, too, like what we're learning from God's Word, what sins and temptations we're fighting against, what prayer needs we have, etc. When we interact with each other, we should be thinking, how can I do this person good spiritually? How can I encourage them? How can I challenge them? How can I provoke spiritual growth in them? And how can I be receptive to these things myself? J.C. Ryle once wrote, "Let us seek friends that will stir us up about our prayers, our Bible reading, and our employment of time, about our souls, our salvation, and a world to come." J.I. Packer wrote about the Puritans and how they used to nurture each other's growth in Christ. He said, "In private, they talked freely of their experiences of God, for they had deep experiences to talk about. Like the, quote, three or four poor women sitting at a door in the sun, whom Bunyan met at Bedford. Their talk was about a new birth, the work of God on their hearts, also how they were convinced of their miserable state by nature. They talked how God had visited their souls with his love in the Lord Jesus, and with what words and promises they had been refreshed, comforted, and supported against the temptations of the devil. Moreover, they reasoned of the suggestions and temptations of Satan in particular, and told each other by which they had been afflicted and how they were borne up under his assaults. And methought they spake as if joy did make them speak." And if it seems too far out of your reach to talk about how God has visited your soul with his love in the Lord Jesus, first of all, you should ask yourself why that seems too far out of reach. But second of all, let me suggest some basic questions that we can all be asking each other in order to promote spiritual growth in each other. You can ask these questions before or after Sunday school, or before or after morning or evening worship, when you're in each other's homes, when you see each other at the grocery store, at the park, wherever, whenever. You could ask very simply, "So how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you?" Asking this question opens the door slightly and nudges the conversation in a spiritually profitable direction. And of course, the other person has to go ahead and open the door the rest of the way by being willing to share from the heart what their prayer needs are. For example, not just, "Oh, well, thanks for asking. I guess you can pray for my knee. It's been hurting me." But more like, "Oh, well, thanks for asking. I guess you can pray for my knee. It's been hurting me. And I don't think I'm responding to the pain very well. I find myself getting angry at the people around me and not really stopping to deal with it before the Lord and to ask for his help. So you can pray for me in that, please." If we ask each other how we can pray for each other, and if we share from the heart about our prayer needs, then we'll be helping each other grow in Christ. Plus, we'll be praying for each other, which we'll talk about in a minute. Or after the service, you can ask the person you're talking to, "So what encouraged you from the sermon today?" Or you could just start talking about something that encouraged you. "You know, I was really helped by the part about talking about the sermon with each other." Something along those lines. And just let that hang out there for a few seconds. Let the other person respond. We can help each other grow in Christ by talking to each other with the goal of building each other up and doing each other good spiritually. We can also help each other grow in Christ by praying for each other. Because after all, growth in Christ is something that ultimately only God can produce. It is supernatural, and therefore we need to be asking God to make it happen. Pray for each other on the spot when you're talking to each other. Pray for each other when you share a meal together. Whenever we come together, no matter the setting, it should be normal for the children of God to pray to our Heavenly Father. Here's a few practical things you can do to make sure that you're nurturing growth in Christ in each other through prayer. One thing we do as a family is we have a prayer jar that we use at dinner time. We have the names of all the members of our church on blank business cards. So one card for each person or family with just their name on it. And each night, one of us picks out a name from the jar, and then we pray for that person or that family during our mealtime prayer. And if anyone isn't sure who the person is, we keep a pictorial directory on hand so that we can look at their picture. Hopefully your picture is in the pictorial directory, as I heard you were encouraged to do this morning. And by the way, that's another practical way to pray for one another. If you don't have a pictorial directory, you can talk to me afterwards to use that pictorial directory and pray through a page a day or pray through a letter of the alphabet. Or you can use the weekly prayer email that Dottie sends out or the bi-monthly list that she sends out. Any number of means. If you don't know who the person is, that's fine. Just pray something general for them. Like that they would glorify and enjoy the triune God of Scripture through worship, nurture, and witness, for example. What else should we pray for each other? Well, Paul's prayers in the New Testament give us some direction. You know this if you read the Book of the Month last month, Praying with Paul by D.A. Carson. Prayers like Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Or we can pray the Psalms for each other, like Psalm 1 or Psalm 23 or Psalm 46. Praying for a fellow believer, asking God to help them delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. Or asking God to be their shepherd and to restore their soul. Or asking God to be their refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Or we can pray for other people in light of what stood out to us from our own Bible reading. But whatever we pray for each other, we should pray for each other. We should be like Epaphras in Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. We can help each other grow in Christ by struggling on each other's behalf in our prayers, asking the Lord to cause us to grow. So that's nurture in a nutshell. We glorify and enjoy God by nurturing growth in Christ in ourselves and in each other. That's part of what it means to be a spiritually healthy, involved, fully engaged member at CRPC. And there's plenty to do in this area. Just take a look at your heart and take a look around. There's no shortage of opportunities for you to nurture growth in Christ in yourself and in your fellow members. We all still have sin in our hearts, and so we all still have room to grow. So let's plant seeds. Let's water them faithfully, and let's trust God to give the growth. Let's pray.